Again, if you've been here, it's no secret. The last couple of weeks, I'm on a series about Christian liberty. And I've had some very good discussions with different people about the series on Christian liberty. I can remember when I first started it, I had a couple of people say to me something like this: "You're either incredibly brave or stupid because it's such a volatile topic." I know which one I am. Don't you already? I've tried to make it obvious to you now. But again, it's a topic that needs talked about and come back from time to time lest we get it wrong, because the Bible has a lot to say about a lot of things here. Again, I've tried my best to make it easy to understand for me. And if I can do that for me, then hopefully it's okay for you. I think it will be. But again, the verse I've just kind of put on the board, haven't preached on it yet, is stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now, folks, we're free. I tell people this: there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that had to be done over and over and over again. And then Jesus came and died on the cross, and all those things are gone, and we're free. Not to try to stay saved or not to try to please God, because we're just sinners saved by grace. Now, again, as we do that and we entangle ourselves back into some of the rules and the rituals and the, again, all the ordinances that were there, we've put ourselves back in bondage. But we're free. And I tell people, free to enjoy life, and we ought to. Free to have a smile on our face, because when you wake up in the morning, you know that Jesus still loves you and you're on your way to heaven. And even though you didn't have a good day yesterday, Jesus still forgives us, doesn't he? I hope you understand that. And I try to do what's right, but I don't always do it. Sounds like the Apostle Paul, doesn't it? And at the end of the day, sometimes my cry is, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But you know what? I'm still saved. And I've got liberty, again, to serve Jesus rather than just trying to stay saved. Again, what I've tried to do, whether I've done it right or not, I might call it by different names. I set up on the platform here five different groups that we have here. Again, over on your right is where I put the sacramentalists, okay? Again, the true legalists. If you've been here, you certainly understand my definition, okay? Those are the true legalists, the sacramentalists, those who add to grace, those who add to faith works, saying that you must do those things in order to perfect your salvation and go to heaven. Again, as I've said before, I don't think there's anybody in this auditorium that would say that's me. Oh, I believe you have to trust Jesus, but there's so much more you have to do to work your sins off. I don't think anybody would say that. Hopefully you're not here doing that. It's by grace through faith alone, is it not? On the other side, we have what I'm calling the licensed crew. But again, these are people that, and I use the word profess, faith in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't make a difference in their life. They continue to live just like they've always lived, continue to do the things they've always done, and continue to desire and do and don't think there's anything wrong with doing all of those things, okay? I mean, they could care less about the Ten Commandments. Just do what I want, because God's grace is so big, He's got to forgive me no matter what I do. And again, it's an idea of intentional sins, presumptuous sins. Again, and hopefully this morning there's nobody here that's your outlook on life. I'm going to go out this week and sin all I want because God's got to forgive me. I hope that's not you. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, it teaches us what? That we don't walk ungodly. It teaches us that we walk godly. We've memorized these verses, have we not? But they're found there in the book of Titus. It teaches us godliness. So when you get saved, you're going to want to change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so I've kind of put between this group over here a big wall, and between the sacramentalists a big wall over there, because, again, those aren't the groups, hopefully, that are bothering us or affecting us in our Christian walk, because we're sitting with them in the pew today. And people are trying to expose that kind of doctrine of do whatever you want and God's got to forgive you. And the idea over here, it's just not faith. It's a whole lot more than that. It's faith and works. Then we come between the walls and we have three groups here. And as I said before, these three groups could be found in a church like this. They could be found. Maybe I shouldn't say could. They are maybe found in a church like this or whatever. And it depends on where you put yourself, but it's also where other people might put you. Okay? Because all of us would like to say, "Oh, I believe in true Christian liberty. I'm standing right here in the middle." But so-and-so, they're over there. And so-and-so, they're over there. But I looked at this group. as the group that looked at a list of doubtful things, things that are kind of gray, and the Bible doesn't have exactly specific verses about them. And they'll say, you know, because the Bible doesn't mention it, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it, wherever I am, with whomever with. Does that make sense to you? And the answer is what? No. All things are lawful. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Okay? And by the way, as I've talked to different people, and I have a sermon coming, so the 5-series sermon, it's more than that now, okay? But if you live here in lawfulness and don't watch yourself and be expedient about certain things, the people that you will offend, cause to stumble the most, are your own children. It's your children that you'll hurt by stomping through life and just saying, well, the Bible doesn't say anything, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Because there's a statement out there, I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it, but somebody correct me, because you know it. But basically what parents do in moderation, children do to extremes or what? In excess. Thank you. I knew I didn't have... Got any, does that make sense to everybody? Okay? I said this one time, and somebody said, well, I'm glad you explained it, because I said, your children are better than you are. Your children are better than you. If you cuss, they'll do it better. Okay? You watch things on TV you shouldn't watch, they'll do it better. But also, if you strive to live godly and try to do what you can to please God and try to walk with God, you might be surprised your children even do that better than you. Okay? Don't you want that? So again, your children sometimes are better than you are. So watch what you're teaching them. So again, when you're over in this crowd, all things may be lawful, and the Bible may not say a whole lot about certain subjects, but stop and think before you just stomp through life. Okay? And remember I gave you that verse, walk circumspectly. Don't just stomp through life. Think about every step you take. Is this what's right? Is this what's good for me? Is it expedient? Is it good for others so that I won't let somebody be into stumbling? Now, I want to go over and talk about the Pharisees today. If I can do that, the group over here, the Pharisees, I've got this. Now, I'm putting up on the board very quickly because I went through a list of different, and again, you call them what you want, standards, regulations, prohibitions, you know, that I have run into people and rub shoulders with, fellowship with people, talk to people, and they have different standards, if you want to put it that way, or different things you can and cannot do. And I mentioned a lot of them last week, and the funny thing is, after I mentioned a bunch, I had other people come to me and say, oh, Pastor, you missed this, 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 and this. So I've added a few this week, okay? But again, when it comes to the areas of dress, okay? I mean, it can be very varied about what people say. You should not wear how you should dress. By the way, you might have somebody over here holding strict standards of dress. Remember, over here, you got that other crowd that says what? I can wear what I want, whatever I want. And I tell people, think about that, please. Because what you wear, it does communicate. What you wear talks. Make sure what you are wearing talks well of you being a Christian and wanting to glorify God. Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? I'm not here. You know, I tell people, you know, people are like, well, Pastor, you just got to come up with a rule. How long can shorts be, or shorts can be short or whatever? I don't know. You know, and I still think of Pastor Wahlberg when I was at Camp Calvary, okay? And Pastor Wahlberg, he just said it, and it made me laugh, okay? If you don't laugh, I'm sorry, okay? But he said, you know, everybody's always talking about the low knee or the mid knee, and he said, all I know is I don't want to see the high knee. Okay? Now, I thought, that's right. Okay? That's right, you know? The Wilds, when I went to the Christian camp, the Wilds, what did they get? The 3 L's? Does everybody know what the 3 L's are? Long, loose, and lots. Okay, so again, we have our different standards and all that, but I do tell people, you know, there is this over here of maybe being very restrictive, but watch over here, okay? And that's why we're talking balance here, but I'm talking about this. Now, I want you to make sure you get this statement, and I'm going to say it a couple times a day so when you go away from it, you understand it. It's not the standard that makes you a Pharisee. Did everybody just hear that? I cannot say, if you see somebody and they're doing that, then they're a Pharisee. They can be doing that and they are not a Pharisee. They're just holding a standard. That does not make them a Pharisee. Now, did everybody hear what I'm saying? I'm going to say it 10 more times today. Standards don't make you a Pharisee. I had another thing up there. Again, just go ahead and look down through the list. There are certain things that people say that as Christians we can or cannot do. The long hair goes both ways. Women must have long hair, and men may not have long hair at all. Okay, and then they'll have definitions of what's long and what's short or whatever. But again, I've met ladies who are of the conviction that they should never cut their hair. Okay, and consequently they don't. All right, but they don't wear it long. They just wear it what? All wrapped up. Okay? Again, different things that people have right there or whatever. You can see, and you might look at that and go, wow, I just didn't know. No, there's people. But these standards don't make them what? Finish the statement. These standards don't make them what? Pharisees. They're not a Pharisee just because they have a certain standard, okay? That you understand that. There's another list that we had up here, okay? As you come down through it, different things that people say, well, I don't think Christians should do that, or, you know, okay, well, I don't think I should do that. Maybe some of them good standards, okay? Maybe some have some reasonings behind it. Maybe not here, but there, okay? Maybe not with these people, but these people. You need to watch where it's expedient, how, and all that. You need to watch that. Again, another list here. Again, music becomes a big thing, okay? Music becomes huge, okay? Whether it's theater or sports teams, okay? And all kinds of things are down there, okay? The one on the list that I just can't believe is guns and hunting. How about you guys, right? But I've met Christians that don't believe that Christians ought to own guns, okay? They ought not own guns. You know? Now, you can sit down and talk to them, and they'll mount up some reasons why, and okay, whatever, how you want to do it there. Again, there's some more things that people talk about. Well, I don't think Christians should. And again, whether it comes to the area of finance, whether it comes to all kinds of other areas, people have different things that you shouldn't do. Okay, Christians shouldn't be there. As I mentioned last week, I even know of a church that preaches you ought not go to Grange Fair. Pastor preaches you ought not go to Grange Fair. Okay, and I don't know. That's kind of rough, isn't it? Because all of you are looking at me like, well, why? They have their reasons. Okay, they have their reasons. Some other things that people have. Oh, Christians shouldn't do all these things, okay? And down there. But the one I agree with on that list there is that coffee thing. I mean, I really agree with that coffee thing. Okay? And it was funny because down at the Pastor's Fellowship on Tuesday, we go to the Prime Sirloin Buffet once a month in Altoona. A bunch of pastors get together. And the one lady came up to me and said, you're the water guy because today's not a good day to start drinking coffee. And I said, you know me now, don't you? Because I always say, you know, just give me water. Today's not a good day to start drinking coffee. And then she'll say to me, you're the guy that's, it's not a good day to drink coffee. And I said, nah, it's not a good day. But you see a lot of things that people have there or whatever. Here's some things that people added to the list. And I should have Johnny put it up there. There's no problem though. But tattoos could be up there. Somebody said, what about tattoos and dancing, dice and playing cards? Okay. A lot of people don't do dice or whatever. I tell people when I was at Bob Jones University, if it was a board game and it had dice involved with it, it couldn't be played on the campus. Couldn't be played on the campus. Now you stop and think, what's left? Well, card games. Okay? Most of them you couldn't do. Am I right about that? So I'll tell you what, we had to get real creative to take other people's money. Okay? No. Folks, just because it's cards or dice doesn't mean that you're automatically what? Gambling. Okay? It's not. And by the way, as we were talking, if you stop and think about it, the things that you can bet on, there is no end of them. How do you cancel all that stuff or whatever? How do you cancel that? I mean, the world in the betting houses, especially England, isn't England known for, they'll bet on absolutely anything, okay, and take a bet on anything, give you odds or whatever. Again, it's not any of these standards that makes you a what? A Pharisee. I looked up a definition of Pharisee. I want you to watch here as we go down through a few points of a Pharisee. Make sure you understand this. Number one. Absolutely true, okay? Literally, the word meant a member of an ancient Jewish sect. We read that in Mark chapter 7, did we not? That the Pharisees came. There was another group that met with him too. They were the what? Sadducees. So again, different groups, okay? Different set of beliefs and habits, but it was definitely a member of an ancient Jewish sect. I'm not sure that we have Pharisees today in the Jewish religion. I'm not sure we do. Okay, maybe something I should have asked Greg Silverman, but I don't think that we have, they call themselves that anymore. I'm not sure. You can look it up. and tell me if I'm right or wrong and help me out with that. Again, number two, I don't even have a problem with this definition. They're distinguished by a strict observance of the traditional and written law. Okay? These are people that had their traditions, they had their laws that they made, they had their rules, they had their standards, okay, and they tried to keep them, okay? And again, that's not what really makes a person a Pharisee, the group that I'm talking about right here. That's not what makes them a Pharisee, all right? Third dot is what makes you a Pharisee, you ready? Commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. Now we're finding out what makes a person a Pharisee. I know it's bigger words. I just wanted to get the definition right as I copied it out. Now we're starting to get to the point which makes somebody a Pharisee. Okay? The idea is there are certain things I do, or maybe better said, there are certain things I don't do, and because I don't do them, I am a better Christian than you are. Now we're dealing with what makes a Pharisee a Pharisee. Does everybody understand that now? Okay, the one that I don't know, of the whole list that I gave people, the one that kind of makes me chuckle the most is open-toed shoes. Okay? Open-toed shoes. I guess I chuckle about it the most because we read that Jesus wore them. Okay? But now you can't. Okay? But for somebody to say, because my shoes are closed at the end and you can't see my toes, that makes me a better Christian than you. Wow. Really? It's come down to open-toed shoes, and that's how we define spirituality. I don't think so. Okay? So again, pretensions to superior sanctity. Right? I mean, this literally looking down on people. Because, well, they don't quite have the standards that we have, so we look down on them. We don't think highly of them. We don't think about them at all. And in fact, watch this. This statement almost comes down something like this. Well, if they do that or they don't do that, how can they possibly be Christians if they do that? You know, boy, you are really putting yourself in what you think is a superior position, and your pretensions are just too big. That's what makes somebody a Pharisee. Okay? I have one more down here that I put down. A self what? Righteous person. Now watch this. Why am I spiritual? Because I didn't put on open-toed shoes this morning. Because I put on a coat and tie. Because I have a shirt with a collar. Are you starting to follow me through? These are things that I did, and because I did them, I'm pretty spiritual. Okay? I don't know. Maybe we should start measuring Bibles. Maybe I have a bigger Bible than anybody. You know why I have a bigger Bible than everybody? Because I'm more spiritual than everybody. I have to be spiritual. I have a big Bible. Is everybody starting to follow you through? Crazy stuff. That hurts. And that kills. When people are doing that. Now, again, I put together, I think, 10 things. The list is not exhaustive, I guess. It's best I could do. Again, there's probably more things. I want to back it up with the Bible. But here's things that I think we need to know about Pharisees so that we understand. Somebody who is in this category, and it's not their standards that put them there. It's their attitude that puts them there. Is everybody following me through? Well, it's like the third time or fourth time I said it. I'm getting to 10, aren't I? Okay? You ready? Let me give you one. Number one. They teach as doctrines the commandments of men. If you are in Mark chapter 7, if I'm not mistaken, okay, it is said a number of times, okay? Look at verse 7, Mark 7, 7. Jesus, it should be in red letters in your Bible, however in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, okay? And so again, the idea here is that they teach as doctrine. Now, again, there is a core set of Bible doctrines that come from the Bible that if you don't believe them, we don't put you in what we call Orthodox Christianity. Does that make sense? For example, if you say, well, Pastor, I believe it takes more than faith to get to heaven. It takes a lot of good works also. That's a doctrine that I think is damning. Okay? It's not Orthodox Christianity at all. If you tell me there are things about Jesus Christ that I just can't believe, like he's the Son of God or he is God himself, that's bad doctrine. And I know that the Bible teaches specifically that Jesus is God. Am I right about that? The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If somebody says, well, I just can't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, well, then you have a soiled Savior. Because if you were not virgin born, then you were born in sin with a sinful nature. And you have a Savior who is now not qualified to be your Savior. And so again, that's a good doctrine that we need to believe, the virgin birth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a Christian and I believe the teachings of Jesus. I just don't believe he rose from the dead. Okay, now these are doctrines that the Bible teaches that we would probably call them what? Cardinal doctrines that you have to believe them. Now, again, these people may not make them cardinal doctrines, but they will take gray area things, things that the Bible is silent about, and promote them to doctrine. Things that you must hold to, believe. You have to. Because if you don't, you are violating Bible doctrine. Okay? Now, you can see here that the Pharisees, when they were promoting to doctrines their commandments, one of them was the washing of hands. The washing of hands. I like how it's said there in verse 2. Notice how the scripture reads. And when they saw some of his disciples eating bread with defiled. Now follow me through. When the Pharisees looked at the disciples, they said, your hands are defiled. Now, can I ask you a question? If something is defiled, what are you thinking of? Okay, what are you thinking of? I mean, there is stuff on those hands, or there is things about those hands that is absolutely terrible. They are diseased and decayed, and they're terrible. And they're looking at the disciples and saying, your hands are defiled. But notice what the Bible says after that. No, they're not defiled. They're just what? Unwashed. Big difference between defiled and unwashed. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. I don't know. When's the last time you washed your hands today here? Okay? If it got on to be a certain point in time, I could just say here now, all of you who have defiled hands need to go get them cleaned up right now. And you would say, Pastor, I just didn't wash them for an hour. Nothing wrong. Okay. And so you can see the idea of they've taken something as simple as unwashed hands and promoted them to a different category of being what? Defiled. Okay. Which, how can you possibly even be a Christian with defiled hands? I mean, you're making a big deal and it's just that I haven't washed my hands lately? Wow, you're a Pharisee. Is anybody understanding that? So they teach as doctrines, and I think I have Mark 7, 1 to 9 up here. They teach things. And by the way, there is the verse in there, okay? In the middle of verse 4, notice it says, when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Notice in the middle of the verse, and many other things there be. What's that mean? This isn't their only rule. They got all kinds of rules. Terrible rules, all over the place rules. And you know what? They teach them as if they're Bible doctrines. And literally, the Bible's pretty quiet about it. Doesn't say a whole lot. And yet you guys have made doctrines out of them. And when somebody breaks one or doesn't do what you think they ought to do, you make a huge deal out of it. I just didn't wash my hands. And you make a huge deal out of that. Again, number two. If I could put here, they teach a false faith, okay? Again, one of rules. Go with me to Matthew 23, please. Matthew 23. I tell people, watch out for a false faith. Matthew 23, look at verse 15. It says, there, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land, to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Do you get that? I mean, you teach this person in such a way that if they do what you've told them to do and believe what you've told them to believe, you haven't gotten them closer to heaven. You've probably given them a false faith, And they might be headed for what? Hell. Again, somebody's over here and somebody says, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I got to be going to heaven. Look at all the things I don't do. I mean, I don't wear open-toed shoes. I don't wear anything that's not a coat and tie. And they just start listening. And you know what? Literally, the question was, how do you know you're going to heaven? It has a pretty simple Bible answer, and you can't even give it. You can't even give it. Okay? Watch it. Again, reminds me, I met with a lady one time. I was witnessing to her, and I said, you know, if you were to die today, you know, where would you go? And she goes, well, I hope I'd go to heaven. I go, well, why? And she rattled off a whole list of stuff to me. I mean, a whole list. She talked for 5 or 10 minutes. A whole list. And then when she was done, I said, can I just talk frankly to you? Because I don't have time to beat around the bush. And I said, the only way you get to heaven is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I didn't hear you say that. And she goes, well, I meant that. And I looked at her and said, and I said it this way, folks, then what was that whole load of crap you just gave me for the last 10 minutes? What was that? I mean, I didn't have time. The reason why I was visiting her, somebody said she was given limited time to live. I had to shake her faith a little bit. What was all that stuff you just gave me of why you're going to heaven? You couldn't even give me the right answer. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then when I asked her, when did you do that? I don't know. But it was all in stuff. All in stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, people... Now, again, if you ask me, Pastor, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? There's only one thing. If Jesus doesn't get me there because I put my faith in Him, I'm not getting there. Does that make sense? All that other stuff that I think I've done, it's filthy rags. They teach a false faith. Oh, you got to do this and do this and do this. And if you do this, you'll be so close to God. You wonder why a lot of people stand up and walk away. They did this and this and this and this. And what? It didn't work. And they didn't have any hope of how it would ever get better. And they walked away. It's a false faith. One of rules. 1 Corinthians 8:8. Go with me there, please. Again, just so you understand. We want to see this. It's a false faith. 1 Corinthians 8:8. By the time I get there, you should all be there. I'm having a hard time finding it. 1 Corinthians 8, and look at verse 8. Again, as we're talking about things offered to idols and other things that people do. Notice what it says in verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we what? Hey, if you do this, this, and this, you'll be spiritual. And what's Paul say? No, you won't. No, you won't. Not a problem. Okay? Absolutely not a problem. All right? If you don't have the list complete in your life, because Jesus paid it all. He took care of absolutely everything. Number three, Pharisees have their pet peeve standards, folks. Now, they're not all the same. Okay? They're not all uniform, that they've all gotten together about this. Go with me, if you will, to Matthew 23, 23. I'm sorry, I had your page away from it. Now I'm taking you back. Okay? But if you know anything about Matthew 23, there's a lot about Pharisees in it, is it not? Matthew 23, 23. Notice, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Notice the little things. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Well, what are they? Judgment, mercy, and faith. And that word judgment basically means making right decision. These ought not ye to have done. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Notice, they pick what they want to do. They pick what they want to do. Well, it's easy to go out into my herb garden and count herbs and, you know, to weigh them and give 10% to God, or, you know, count so many tomatoes and give 10% to God. Oh, I like doing that. But you know what? Being nice to other people, I'm not doing that one. I'm not doing that one. Okay? Oh, I'll tithe perfectly and make sure I do everything. But the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and what? Faith. Well, you say, well, what do you mean being kind to people? Mercy. Show a little mercy to people when they don't deserve it. Okay? Yeah, let's be a little merciful out there. And so sometimes they say, well, this, this, and this. And I come back to this, whatever. I was sitting in a service one time. Maybe some of you were there and you remember it. I don't know. Okay? I was sitting in a service one time. And the preacher said, I can ask somebody one question and find out if he's going to be a good preacher or not. I was like, wow. Okay. I'd like to know what this is. Well, he must have heard me think it. And he looked at this guy because it was a young preacher. A guy said, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a preacher someday. And he said, I can ask you one question. And how you answer that question will tell me if you'll ever be a good preacher. Okay. He looked at the guy and said, do you use the King James Bible? I was like, wow. That's your question? Folks, do you know that German liberalism started in the early 1900s with the King James Bible? That's the Bible they were using. And German liberalism got started as they went into those books and all that. And thought the high, well, I won't get into it all with you. Okay? Wow. So otherwise, I must be a pretty good preacher. Why? Why? Because I use the what? King James Version. That's what I learned that day. And I learned something else that day. Wow. You know, and then poor Brian Hampton sitting over there saying, well, I use a Creole Bible. What's that make me? I said, lousy preacher. We laughed. They have their pet peeve standards. Are you with me? You show up. Oh, they must be a Christian because they add to it. What is it? They must be a Christian because they... And I keep going back to the one I've been using. It's just a safe one to use, right? They have closed-toe shoes on. I knew they were Christians. I knew they were good Christians because they don't have open-toed shoes. Really? Because that's their pet peeve standard, and if you meet it, then you're good. The problem with pet peeve standards is what we just read in this verse here in verse 23. You sometimes miss bigger things that are better, okay? A little bit better. I'll tell you what. I'd rather have somebody wear open-toed shoes that loves me for my mistakes. Are you with me? Okay, maybe they didn't get the standard right, but they love me. Even when I make mistakes, they still love me. I like that, don't you? Okay? So again, they have their pet peeve standards. Watch out. And if you met their pet peeve standards, you're good. But if you violate one of those, okay? And I do this. I've asked questions like this. I ask questions. And I've heard people say, well, that church, I think they're gone. I think that church is gone. I go, why? Because most of the time, one of the pet peeve standards that somebody has, that church violated it. And now they've listed them as what? Gone. Gone. Oh, that church is gone. Because one of your pet peeve standards, they didn't keep it the way you thought they should, and so you just wrote off the whole church? That's rough, isn't it? That's rough. Watch out. Okay? I got to keep moving. Can't meddle too long, can I? They major on minors. I've kind of said it already, but we're close to it, so we'll just keep reading. Can we do that? You've omitted. Again, the weightier matters of the law in verse 23. Notice verse 24, ye blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside then of them may be clean also. Again, they major on minors. Again, strain a gnat, swallow a camel. Do you understand what that means? Okay. Here's a person who said, I am so vegetarian that I don't even want to swallow a gnat in my drinking water. So I strain my gnat to make sure that my water is clean, because who'd want to eat a bug or whatever? And then they turn around after straining a gnat because they say they're a vegetarian and they have camel steaks for supper. I don't get it. Okay. You say you're a vegetarian, don't eat bugs, whatever, okay? If you're a motorcycle rider, you've eaten plenty of bugs. Am I right about that? Unless you get a full face shield, okay? You get that full face. By the way, riding a bicycle, you eat enough of them, okay? But again, you major on the minors. Folks, again, and I just want to say this, okay? And I've all repeated it. People come up with all these standards, and look, I do these things. But sometimes they are the most unloving people you've ever met. Am I right about this? You know, give up on your standards. Show some love. Isn't that bigger? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have your toes closed. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you what? Love one another. Closing up your shoes, I don't think, tells the world you're a Christian. Loving people will. Boy, I'm meddling now, aren't I? Do you get the point? There's bigger things out there, folks, than just, do you do this right? Do you do this right? Do you have all your ducks lined up and everything like that, and all your T's crossed and the I's dotted? Did you do it all? Folks, that's majoring on the minors. There's bigger things out there. Forgiving people. Forgiving people. That's huge. Somebody asked me one time, Pastor, if you could give one word what this world needs, what would it be? That was my answer. Forgiveness. I haven't found a better answer yet. Okay? Now, you might say Jesus, but once you know the world needs forgiveness, where do you go to find it? It's Jesus. I know Jesus, but what the world needs, we all need. You know, I found Jesus. I still need forgiveness. How about you? Okay? They major on the minors. Let's watch out about that. I got to keep moving. Leads me right into the next one, doesn't it? Okay? These people are unforgiving. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Just go back a few pages. Go back a few pages. I'm not going to read all those verses. What do I have, like 15 verses set up there? I'm not going to read all of them. But it says in verse 23, okay, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. You know the story. A man owed a debt he couldn't pay, and the Lord just forgave him. Just forgave him. Wow. That same man that was forgiven went out and found somebody that owed him a small amount of money. Somebody tell me what he did. The first thing he did is put his hands on his neck. Is that what he said? And said, pay me what you owe me. When the guy said, I can't, but be patient, I will. He said, sorry, man. And threw him where? In the jail. Unforgiven. Okay? And you'll find out that a lot of times with the Pharisees, they are not forgiving. They're not forgiving. You messed up, we got to hold the law. We got to hold it tight. Now, we're going to get to, you might say, well, Pastor, I think there's better verses to teach this. They're coming. A lot of times they're very unforgiving. Well, so-and-so did something. I don't know. I tell people, I don't know. I don't know what the record is, but I got one. In my mind, I got the record. Okay? I talked to a lady who told me of something she cannot get over, and it has bothered her and hurt her and messed her up to this day, and it was 38 years ago. That's my record. I don't know of anybody that's messed up something over 38 years ago. They can't get over it. And I'm still angry about what happened 38 years ago. Now, you may say, Pastor, I've got one for 60. I'm not that old to come up, you know what I'm saying. I just, 38 years. I thought it said over in Ephesians, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now, you may say, well, is that literal? Okay, let's just say it's not literal. But it does mean something. Get it figured out quick. Work through. I asked the question, the people you're mad at, they still know it? No. They've never known that I've been mad at them. Wow. Do you still see these people? Yeah. And you're mad at them? Yeah. And you won't just talk to them about it? Nope. Wow. Unforgiving. Now, the only reason I can give that is because if the person comes up and says, wow, I didn't know I did that to you 38 years ago, would you forgive me? Then they'd be forced to what? Forgive, but that's not what they want. No, you got to toe the line. And if you don't toe the line, I cannot forgive you. Okay? I cannot forgive you. Right? Now, I just tell people, I see things that just blow me away. I see things that just blow me away. I've told this story kind of somebody, but I had a couple came to me, and the couple said, our marriage is about ready to fall apart because of adultery. We don't know what to do, so we've come to you. Can you help us? I said, absolutely. I can read your Bible verses. I can help you. And we went through Bible verses, and I said, you know, here's what I think. No divorce. Forgiveness is absolutely it. Now, if anybody remembers, I preached a series on divorce. Does everybody remember it? And what did I say? You always do. Forgive. That's how you fix things. You forgive. And we're going to do this. And they go, okay. So they offered forgiveness. And they said, well, Pastor, now that you know this, are you going to remove us from ministry at your church? I said, let me read some other verses to you. And I read where Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and what? Sin no more. No, you're forgiven. I'm not going to tell you to forgive and then not do it here. No, if you put this in the past and you go and sin no more, and again, no problem. No problem. Forgiven. Wow. Great. They left the church a number of years later because they said I said something they didn't like. Wow. I stayed in the church when you committed adultery. You left because I said something you didn't like? Really? Now, I tell people all sin is sin. And I'll confess up to what I've done. How big of a weight do you put on adultery compared to I said something you didn't like? Are you with me on that one? And I said, no punishment given. We move forward, serving God. Then they couldn't forgive. They put their hands on my throat and threw me where? In prison. Unforgiveness. Folks, when you hold standards and you commit them up to doctrines, and then when somebody does something, you can't forgive. It's horrible. Folks, you got to learn to forgive. And I find here that these people just don't know how to forgive most of the time. Again, I'm not going to concentrate on this one, but if you read Mark chapter 7, which Bob read, Jesus said you're hypocrites. And if you read Matthew 23, does anybody know how many times it says they're hypocrites? Over and over and over again. Because I've noticed this sometimes, that Pharisees make rules they can't even keep. Anybody ever know that? They get up to a standard where they can't even meet it after a while. And though they yell and hoot and holler about you need to keep certain standards, they themselves find out that they can't keep them. And they become hypocrites. Again, watch out that what you teach, you can keep as best you can to make a habit of it. Again, let me go on. Very judgmental. Very judgmental. Luke chapter 18. If you go there, you'll know the verses. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a what? Pharisee. What was the other man? A publican. As that Pharisee prayed, what did he do to that poor guy that was standing? Well, he wasn't standing. I think he was bowing over here. What was he doing? Oh, God, I pray. Thank you that I'm not like what? That guy. And as I've mentioned this before, could you imagine being this guy over here? You know you're a sinner. You know you've done stuff wrong. And you've come to church to find some help and find some forgiveness. And all you know is some guy over here is praying up a storm and pointing at you and saying, I'm glad I'm not like you. Are you coming back? I wouldn't. I'd go find somebody who says what? Well, you know what, brother? If you're a sinner, welcome to the bunch. Because we all are. Everybody with me on that? Welcome to the bunch. You know, you're going to fit in real good around here. You're a sinner? Well, let me have you meet a few more sinners around here. And I can pull some of you down. Get all of you. We're all just sinners. But you know, we get judgmental and say, well, I'm so glad I'm not like that person there. You know what? Come on. And by the way, when Jesus was done with that story or that parable, I'm not sure, telling it, he said that I tell you that this man went down to his house justified. Sins forgiven. In a right relationship with God, rather than what? The other one. Judgmental. Okay? Again, we can look around and we can throw things on people because you've broken some standards or rules or whatever, you know, and we can put you down where we want. And again, we just start putting you always lower place than where we are. Okay? Let's not be judgmental. Right? Hurts. Again, by the way, as I tell people, when it came to the rebuke of the Pharisees, the Bible didn't leave it up to Peter to do it. Peter is the one who wrote the best verses about this group over here. Okay, when you go into 1 Peter chapter 2 and all that, the dog returned to us. Peter nailed this group. Okay, I think it's 2 Peter. But he nailed this group. And by the way, the sacramentalists up here, the faith and works group, Jesus said, hey, Paul, you go after them. And he wrote the book of Galatians. Are you with me? And he nailed them. But Jesus said, what's in the Bible about this group, I'm saying it. And you'll notice pretty much all the verses I've covered today are from where? The Gospels. And they're all in what color? Red. Jesus said, Peter, you can have that group. And Paul, you can rip into this group. And by the way, Paul's the one that got into this group here. Again, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 Corinthians 10. He got this group here. Okay? But Jesus said, that's the one I'm taking care of. And so you'll see that most of the things are in red here. Again, you're judgmental. You look down at your nose at people then. Again, if I can give you this one. They're inconsistent. Go back with me to Matthew 23, please. Again, a lot of these overlap, but again, I'm bringing them out so we can see them. Matthew 23:14. Okay? Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. There's that word. Notice, for ye devour widows' houses. And for a pretense make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive their greater damnation. Again, you devour widows' houses. Again, here are people that have all their standards just right. They wear their long flowing gowns. They have their phylacteries done in the right way. They got their hair curled just right as Orthodox Jews. They've got the blue thread around the hems of their garments. Again, when it's prayer time, they're in the middle of the markets praying so everybody can see them. All the time, they're foreclosing on widows' houses and making them homeless. Wow. That's pretty rough, isn't it? That's pretty rough. And as I look here, they're inconsistent. Okay? And again, you major on minors. Different things like this. Watch out. Because, again, these are things that we need to make sure that we're consistent with. Okay? If we want to set up a high standard of holiness or whatever, well, then you ought to be consistent. You ought to be consistent. Okay? I'm talking to somebody not too long ago. And they said, well, Pastor, I believe in church that there ought to be a high, high standard for hymns and music. And I just believe we need to hold to it. And I go, great. Good. So I talked to their child and said, what kind of music does your mom listen to? Country. Country. I'm like, what? So I had to go back and talk to more. What? I mean, you are nailing me because you said that I went to a Steve Green concert and it didn't have this level of highness. And you listen to country? Like, I did a really quick study. Are you ready for this? Like, the one group is singing a song that's top on the charts called Bartender. And then there's Whiskey in My Water. Okay. And then there's Drunk on a Plane. I'm right on this, aren't I? I'm right. Come on, some of you help me, because there's a whole lot more songs out there with whiskey and beer and alcohol in them that you're listening to on the country circuit. Am I right about that? Okay, bottoms up. See, it's all coming to me now. Bottoms up, right? What's that mean? We're pretty quick about it, okay? Drink a beer. These are all current hits on the country scene. I'm not smacking you. I'm smacking inconsistency. You're telling me that there's a certain group of Christian music that you believe is just terrible and I shouldn't be listening to it, and you're out there singing Drunk on a Plane. I got a problem. You better be consistent across the board. I don't get it. Okay? So I don't know. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, you forgot this song. Oh, what? Day Drinking. So you're thinking I didn't do my homework, aren't you? You're thinking I didn't do my homework. All I did was Google top country hits right now. Day Drinking. Some of you could all put groups to all that, couldn't you? Okay? You could put groups to that. Be consistent. You're going to hit somebody for something, you better make sure. By the way, if you're saying, well, Pastor, why do you do this? Isn't there a Bible verse that says, judge not lest ye be not judged? You want to nail me for what you think I'm listening is wrong in music? I'm judging you back. Because that's what the Bible says. If you judge in a certain area, it will come back. If you're looking at the big old beam in somebody's eye, I mean, a splinter in somebody's eye, they're coming back with the beam that's in your eye. Watch out. Okay? Be consistent. Some of you are going to go Google that stuff and say, well, what are all those songs about? Drinking. That's what they're all about. I got to finish up here. Number 9, they believe in harsh penalties. They believe in harsh penalties, okay? I don't have a lot of time. Look these verses up, but you know these stories. There was a woman that they brought to Jesus, taken in the very act of adultery. Our law says she ought to what? Wow. Our law says she ought to be stoned. Wow. That's pretty rough, isn't it? That's mean. Our law says she ought to be stoned. What do you say we ought to do? Okay? Here's one that's kind of hidden. But in John chapter 5, Jesus went up to the porches where there was a pool of water and healed a man that had been lame for what, 38 years? There's that number again. Lame for 38 and being mad at somebody for 38. Wow, you need healing. Okay? Get in the pool. Okay? Watch this. Healed him, carried his bed, and he got caught because he did it on the Sabbath day. Well, why are you carrying it? Well, the guy who healed me told me to take it home, so I did. Well, who was this? I think his name's Jesus. From that moment forward, they sought to persecute Jesus and put him to death because he broke their Sabbath. Boy, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Is that harsh? I mean, in their minds, he thought he broke the Sabbath. They broke the Sabbath. And it's capital punishment? Really? By the way, when it comes to harsh punishments in John chapter 8, what was Jesus' punishment for what she did? Forgiveness. Big difference, isn't there? Big difference. Believe in harsh penalties. Watch out. Okay? Number 2. They'll divide the brethren, folks. They'll divide the brethren faster. Maybe I can put down here, they'll divide from the brethren about as fast as you can get it. John 9:34. Again, this is a story when Jesus was passing by. There was a man who was born blind. The disciples said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither. It's because of the glory of God. Jesus heals him. Okay? And they said that you got healed on the Sabbath day. And therefore, does anybody know what they did to this guy in John 9:34? They threw him out of the temple and basically said, you can't come back to our church. You can't come back to church here. Now, am I ever getting that? I mean, we have a list, and if you can't keep it, we don't want you here. Right? Now, I got a question for you. What list do you have that when people walk in the back door of the church, you don't want them here? You don't want them here. I tell people, in Mark chapter 5, I think it was, a guy showed up to Jesus naked. And Jesus said, I want you on my team. And he got saved. Jesus didn't throw him away. He came in naked. Now, I tell people, there's people that come in a whole lot less than that. I mean, not so bad. And we think, oh, really? Jesus took them naked. He took them naked. But no, we don't want those people here. Okay? And again, we'll divide from the brethren. Go with me to Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14, if you want to do something in preparation for coming sermons, you can read Romans 14. Notice Romans 14:10. Paul asks some questions here. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? And here's the question. Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Has everybody got that what it means? The answer is somebody doesn't do something just like you do. And we'll get into Romans chapter 14 probably next week. Somebody doesn't observe the Sabbath just like I do, so I will have nothing to do with them. Somebody eats something that I don't think they should eat, so I will have nothing to do with them. That's what it means to set at naught thy brother. If you don't do it just like I do it, we're not having anything to do with you. Isn't that horrible? You got to do it our way, or you leave. It's either, well, what is it? It's either my way or the what? Or the highway. My way or the highway. Now watch this. I'm done. If I haven't said it 10 times, I'll get it. It's not the standards that makes us Pharisees. It's what you now believe about the standards and how that plays out and works out in your life as you look at other people. That's what makes you a Pharisee. I tell people, you know what? I have been with people in my life, and I tell people I have been blessed to be with people in my lifetime that have higher standards than I have. Or if we want to put it this way, they don't do certain things that I don't have a problem with. And I have been friends with them. We have fellowship together. We have worship together. We have just had a great time together. Because you know what? We didn't let those things be a dividing point among us. Just not worth dividing over. Now, you say, well, Pastor, well, then you don't divide from anybody. Well, yeah, I do. Okay? There are certain things that, you know what, if you don't believe, okay, you're making me scared. Okay, or certain attitudes you may exhibit. Just because you do something doesn't mean I'm going to separate from you, because forgiveness works, doesn't it? See? And I've gotten along with great people, okay? And I've fellowshiped with people that have standards, what I would say, less than mine. Am I right about that? Okay? At least when I ride a motorcycle, it's a Honda. It's not a Harley, Rick Dougherty. It's not a Harley. Everybody knows that every Honda person wants a Harley deep down in his heart, okay? But you understand there are people on this side of me that have standards that aren't quite what mine are, okay? You know I'm kidding, Rick, don't you? I know he does, okay? But here's the thing. We get along fine because I'm not always trying to do what? Push it on them. Push it on them. Because in the long run, it doesn't really matter. So again, the idea here is not the standard, it's our attitude about them and what we make them out to be. And by the way, sometimes when I ask people that have certain standards, why do you have that standard? I'm interested to know. And sometimes they give very legitimate reasons that I'm like, praise the Lord, that's good. That's good. But sometimes I have to say, that's good, but it's for you, not for me. Does that make sense to people? We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. And praise the Lord for your standard. But sometimes I ask people, why do you have that standard? And they give me some reason. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't even understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me at all, what you just said. Okay? Or I might say, okay, definitely I'm not going to ever have that standard. At this point in time, that's God really pushes me, because what you just said didn't make any chance at all. Just didn't make any sense. Okay? Why do you do that or whatever? Okay? And I tell people, what was it? Was it the grandmother? Whenever she bought a turkey, she always cut the turkey in half and baked it in 2 pans. You've heard the joke, haven't you? And finally, granddaughter finally asked, Grandma, why do you cut the turkey in half and cook it in 2 pans? We said, well, my grandmother always did that. Well, why did she do that? Because she didn't have a pan big enough for the whole thing. I don't get it. Okay? We now make pans big enough for the turkey. Stop cutting the thing in half. Okay? Now, sometimes we come along with tradition. Whatever. Again, I'm just telling you right here, as I told people over there last week, watch out that you don't fall into this group. And by the way, I can do it really easy. I can. I can fall into this group really quick and see somebody do something that I'd rather not do. And I might say something like this: what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? And the answer really is what? There's nothing wrong with them. God hasn't dealt with them in this certain area. They don't have that standard. They don't see the need to have the standard. And there's nothing wrong with them. And my questioning is making me slip over here. Does that make sense? And I got to watch myself that I don't think that everybody has to live and act just like I do. It'd be a terrible place if it was, wouldn't it? But again, I think you understand that we can slip in there real quick and say, well, this, because I do it, it's what makes it so right. But you know what? It may not be wrong for them at all. Watch that we don't get into that group there. Watch that we don't get into this group. Because by the way, sometimes when we don't want to be in this group, then what do? We slide into this group, which means walking right here is tough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's tough sometimes, is it not, to walk right here? Again, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, he spoke to them not of the leaven of bread, but of their what? Doctrines. Let's make sure that we understand that we don't get harsh on people because they don't live exactly the way we do. Because you might be surprised. God hasn't dealt with them. And they don't need to hold to the higher standard that maybe God has worked in your heart. Father, I pray that you might help us. Lord, it's easy sometimes to judge people if they're just not like we are. But sometimes we got to remember the statement, different, not wrong. And Lord, that'll help us through a lot of problems. Lord, thank you for giving us the Bible. You've given us a lot of things to consider. May we consider wisely and discerningly before we throw judgment upon another person. Again, Lord, thank you for giving us freedom and liberty. In Jesus' name, amen.